You're listening to My 1-2-3 Cents with Kevin Huntsberger. Bee! Oh, and I'm the world's sweetest man, Gentleman Jervis. I actually really like your podcast. I hope you keep it up. You're doing great work. Well, that's all, Kevin. I love you very much.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey, friends. Welcome to episode 308 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. This is The Interview, and I'm Kevin Huntsberger, and my guest this week is Bo Sawyer. Now, Bo has been on before a couple times, actually. We've talked most recently about his favorite of all time, the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith. And for the interview, we're going to dig a little deeper into that and also learn more, since it is Halloween time, at least. We're going to talk a little bit more about a new character that is developing with Bo, and that is known as Graven. And we'll get to all that in just a few minutes. But first, Bo, welcome back to the show.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. 308 episodes. That's amazing.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I know that you've been a part of a handful of these, and you are one of the guys in the indie business that I feel like is really kind of embraced the whole brand building and social media conscience, and you know, you're aware of what's going on in terms of getting yourself out there, and it obviously that works because you have been a part of the Stride roster for a couple years now, and obviously because of COVID things have changed somewhat, but you're still traveling. We were just talking before we started recording, you're traveling to other spots as well that are still able to do some of these shows with a limited audience.
Yeah, it's one of those to where some places are very easily, very easily where they can do the social distancing and not really have to worry about the numbers per se. But then, you know, there are others who it's more of like a smaller, intimate building possibly. So you're going to have to, you know, be closer to those other people. And obviously everybody's going to be out there wearing, you know, masks and all that. But some places are taking the chances, and some of them, I think, are still just waiting a little bit, hopefully, you know, waiting for the light at the end of the tunnel when all this stuff breaks loose.
So if anyone didn't look at the photo attached for this week's episode, you understand that Bo Sawyer is about, what, 265?
Dude, I have actually ballooned up like crazy since COVID.
Yeah.
Luckily, I have my own weight set at my house. I have an Olympic weight set. And I'm like, I am actually at 280 right now.
Wow. So talk to me a little bit about that. How do you continue to train and you know, because we've heard the big guys talk about it before where, you know, maybe sometimes the Undertaker, for example, is hurt after he wrestles at WrestleMania every year, because that's literally his only time stepping into the ring. And the other guys are usually on the road, you know, 200, 300 days a year. With indies, you know, you were wrestling probably close to every weekend, I would imagine, and that's obviously dried up somewhat. How do you keep yourself in ring shape, not just in physical condition, because you just mentioned the home gym, but how do you keep in that ring shape as well?
Well, that one, it's a very challenging, and it depends on the person, to be completely honest.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are much more driven than others. Luckily, I have access to, I've got a couple punching bags on my my front porch. I have a jump rope, and I have a bike that I ride. So for me, it's one of those things to where if you're always ready, then you don't have to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as far as the ring shape wise, yeah, I guarantee I've got some rust, even though I have been working some shows sparingly here lately. But let's face it, especially with the weight that I put on, I mean, that's one of those things. As soon as everything breaks open, or I just take my butt to IWAU and I get in a ring over there, because luckily I have access to that.
Mm.
It's just, it's a matter of me and the motivation. Because sometimes it's there for, like, the weight-wise, obviously, since the drastic weight gain, I'll call it, strength is there. I mean, I'm not worried about that at all. But, like, when it comes to, you know, the legs and being able to move and get down and get up, I mean, that's one of those things. It's tough, and on a daily basis, I gotta pick and choose. It's like, I can work out all day, that's fine. But when it comes to the cardio, we all hate it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you. You're a runner. You run, like, I don't know how much. Pretty much like every day.
I've cut back on that too, unfortunately, but I am ramping it back up again too. But yeah, I get it, man. It's not easy.
Very easy to just be like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But it's all about the, if you want to be driven, you can't drive if you don't put the keys in and put it in gear.
Right. No, I understand that completely. One of the craziest things I saw very recently was your schedule. It was a Saturday. You were wrestling in Mount Vernon, Illinois for IWA Productions. Right. And then you had Snapchatted me and said you were on your way to a second show in Evansville, which I believe was about 90 minutes away.
Yeah.
Life of an indie wrestler, huh?
My partner, Blaine Black, mm-hmm. We'd wrestled, obviously, like you said, in Mount Vernon for IWA Productions. Had a three-team tag team match, and then Blaine was actually booked for the next show. I was kind of going along as a surprise, if you would, uh-huh. because I haven't been there for, I'd say 6 to 8 months or so, and I was kind of a surprise. So
how does that, you know, do you talk to the promoter ahead of time and say, you know, I've got one show here, one show here, I'd like to do both, can you put me on early and then ask the other guy to put you on later, or how does that work out?
That's actually pretty much how it is. Mm-hmm. Luckily, if they're able to shuffle around the card a little bit and accommodate, that's always a huge plus. And luckily we were able to do that. And with the card that was going on in Evansville, there was a ridiculous number of matches. And I think when I had actually Snapchatted you, I was actually repainting my face.
Yeah, you were.
I started off with one color in Mount Vernon as a tribute to Road Warrior Animal. And pretty much it's actually stuck with that, just a little bit of color variations going on with it. And showed up still in gear, still good, and I pretty much got to go in and make a save. But hey, I got a huge pop out of it. So
yeah, because you came running in, and I just in my mind was picturing you like just arriving. I'm sure you had been there with plenty of time, but I had pictured you just arriving into the building, and you're just hauling ass down there to get into the ring and make that save.
Oh man, that would have been even better than it. You know, the adrenaline would have been going the whole time, and good job done. All right, let's go eat.
Well, you mentioned Road Warrior Animal, and we just obviously recently lost him earlier this month, or it might have even been late last month in September. But talk to me again about the influence that he and Hawk, the Road Warriors, collectively had on you, because you have adopted a lot of the traits of the Road Warriors and the British Bulldog, who you've mentioned before as your all-time favorite singles guy. But What do the Road Warriors mean to you?
Well, the Road Warriors, as much as Davey Boy is my number one singles guy, the Road Warriors there have to be completely level, if not honestly above Davey Boy.
Hmm.
Just their style was just that smash mouth, big guy, rip your head off, don't care about what's going on next, just get it done type attitude. And just, you know, these were the guys, like, when we were, I know you're a little bit older than I am, but growing up, you know, it was all about the larger-than-life figures.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys, they came out with the paint and the spikes, and just you saw them, and you're like, oh, my God, somebody's going to die.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just, and they just had that attitude, and especially, like, Animal was, you know, did okay on his promos, but let's face it, when it came to the promos, you knew Hawk, as soon as he opened his mouth, you were going to hear something that you had never heard before, and in a way that you had never heard before.
Yeah. So when you, because you did mention that there's obviously an age difference between us. Now, when I first started watching wrestling in like 82, 83.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, probably.
I was born in 82.
Okay.
And actually, my birthday is actually tomorrow.
Oh, well, this show drops on Bo's birthday. So happy birthday early to you. And so, I'm guessing, obviously, and you've probably since then gone back and watched, but you know, I can remember them in the AWA, and there was no team in wrestling like them at that time. There was nobody, even singles wise, that looked like them. They, you know, they didn't have, early on, they didn't have the shoulder pads with the spikes, but they wore the spiked collars, and they just had that tough. You just knew that they were badasses, and
when they came in the AWA in the beginning, you got to think they looked like they were the Village People's bodyguards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's what it looked like. And you, at first, when I remember going back and actually watching old tapes, I'm just like, these are not the same guys.
Yeah.
But then when they cut loose, the bell rang and they went after, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's the same guys.
Right. And so they were just so intense and so influential. And I in the month of October have been doing pieces on kind of quote unquote scariest wrestlers of all time. And I put the Road Warriors on the list as well, because obviously that intimidation factor that they had with their opponents, but also just the way that they interacted with fans. Because even early on, you know, they were bad guys, quote unquote, but the fans loved them and turned them in. You know, that's another case of the crowd kind of dictating the direction of the characters. And even when they tried to turn them bad again, in the NWA days, when they attacked Dusty Rhodes and stuff, I still think the fans, you know, that Road Warrior pop is a thing still, you know, right. 35 years later. So they obviously influenced. And then, you know, other teams along the way and other wrestlers, and obviously you being one of them, have been influenced by the look and the just kind of that, you know, the Doomsday Device. You know, I think you and I worked the same show where Animal was at a couple years ago, and he came out and they hit somebody. I don't remember who it was, but they hit somebody with a Doomsday Device. So, you know, he's just, and he was just so influential. Admit,
on that show also, I was actually recovering from my knee being blown out. And I remember being at the show, and it was would have been the second time I met Animal, and it didn't matter. I was still so starstruck. You know, I said, you know, I got to go up and say, hey, how's it going and everything. And I just was like a little kid all over again.
So when you meet a wrestler like that, you know, and I guess obviously Animal was the only one that really kind of fit this bill, because we lost Hawk in 2003 and Davey Boy in 2002. But when you met Animal those two different times, you know, is it more of a casual, you know, I know there's probably some form of etiquette when it comes to meeting these bigger superstars, but do you explain to him kind of the influence that the Road Warriors had on you, or does it become apparent by the way you look in that situation where you're meeting him at a show where you're, whether you're working or not, but there's obviously, you know, you have this look about you too that tells people that you are a professional wrestler. Do you have that conversation with him or not?
With him, it was very sparingly. Mm-hmm. The first time I'd actually met him, it was in Fort Wayne for a Heroes and Legends show.
Oh, okay.
And we were going the full blown Monster Hunter gimmick, and I'd actually just come off a seminar by Terry Taylor.
Oh, okay.
So I was actually in my cutoff hoodie, the Monster Hunter hat. So I kind of had that look going about it. You know, got to meet him and everything and talk to him. I got to talk to him for, I would say, about a good 10 minutes or so.
Oh, cool.
And at this point, I had just had, like, the baby double mohawk going on.
Uh-huh.
And he kind of seen it, and he's like, you know what? Mike would have liked that. And that hit me, and I was just like, oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
So I kind of was trying not to fanboy, and I was trying to be like, oh, man, cool, thanks, you know? And but on the inside, I was just like, dude, he just did it. He just said it. And I was like, it was great. Like the first and second time getting to meet him, you know, both times, great guy, really chill dude. I wish I'd had, would have been able to pick his brain more or had a little bit longer conversations. But the influence they've had on me, on the both of them, it kind of re-kicked my fuel for, I love being a singles wrestler. Don't get me wrong by any stretch of the imagination, but to me, tag team wrestling. And you got to look at those guys. They were an attraction. Like, you put them on the board, it didn't matter who they were against, you were going to have people in there because they wanted to see the Road Warriors kick ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to me, that stuck out. That's that tag team magic right there.
So talk to me about the, and we're going to backtrack and go back to the Monster Hunters in just a second, but you brought up something during that conversation that I found interesting, and that's the double mohawk. I always, as a kid, I always wondered the Road Warriors and the Missing Link. So I assume you remember the Missing Link. He was...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So these guys have these crazy haircuts, which obviously you have, and you're walking around with this, you know, taking your kid to school or going to a soccer game or going to the airport. And I always wondered, you know, how the general public, because we're only seeing them for 20 minutes a night, you know, as this character, but they walk around with this look all the time. And then I had seen pictures of the Road Warriors and they'd be wearing skull caps or something. But anyway, yep. My question for you is, do you ever get looks or comments about the double mohawk, or, you know, I knew you were doing some different variations with your beard, you know, and kind of fitting the gimmick or the wrestler personality that you were portraying at the time. Do you ever get looks or comments from people in your community where you live?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I was raised a country boy, and I wear a hat like 90% of the mm-hmm. time anyway. But for those, you know, few minutes or whatever, if I do have it off or something, you know, I get the looks. And I actually had a older lady, I took my hat off the other day, and she's like, well, that's different. And I was like, you like it, don't you? And she's like, I'm going to have my husband think about that. He's got that kind of hairdo. And see, I got lucky with mine doing the double hawk just due to the fact of I have crappy genetics and a receding hairline. So I've kind of got a natural line, and all I got to do is follow it down with a razor.
Yeah.
So I do that, and bada boom, there it is.
There it is. So the Midwest Monster Hunters, that's when I first learned who Bo Sawyer was. And we actually, I don't remember if I told the story the last time, but I actually met you through Snapchat, oddly enough. We became Snapchat friends before we actually met in person. And we right. still, to this day, have a, I don't know what number we're on now, but it's a couple year streak now. Going. What's that?
We got a hell of a streak going.
We do. And so, I like I said, I met you as a Midwest Monster Hunter, and you were teaming up with Jason Tiller at that time. And Blaine wasn't coming to Southern Illinois, but I know that Blaine was part of this fact. Is it fair to call you guys a faction back then?
Yeah, very much. And actually, you know, keep an eye out because the Monster Hunters are actually growing.
Okay.
Blaine and I are taking back more of the tag work, and we've got a couple other guys. Tiller, honestly, will still be a part of it now that we've got some cobwebs reshaking out of his head. But with us, I mean, Blaine and I were actually the founding two of the Midwest Monster Hunters.
Okay.
And it was something a little bit different, and then we got Tiller. And then you see how our run progresses. We came over to Stride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two times Stride Tag Team Champions. Got to throw that in there.
There you go.
But things are actually evolving a little bit more now towards, yes, we got monsters out there. So guess what? To hunt those monsters, more or less, we're going to start becoming those monsters.
So is that is that
fighting fire with fire?
Okay, that's where I wanted to go next with kind of the metamorphosis of Bo Sawyer and turning into, because you've done like I said, these the tributes and whatnot, and you guys went from, and Blaine, I feel like Blaine worked a couple shows here with Stride, and I really never got to talk to him very much, but he was full blown kind of coming out looking the part of a monster, and you were still more of the hunter type, if you will. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's very accurate, actually.
So talk to me a little bit about the evolution from going from Monster Hunter to still kind of keeping that persona, but, you know, like you said, fighting fire with fire, and now the evolution into the Graven character.
Well, pretty much what this is, it all in itself is a big tribute. In 2014, we lost a very good buddy by the name of Jesse Meredith, and Jesse actually wrestled as Drake Graven.
Okay.
Now, when he had passed, I was actually tagging with Josh Steele in a tag team called Rough Cut. So we actually named our tag team finish the Graven, But as time went on, I had always wanted to do more. I wanted to do more because I felt, you know, hey, my brother's work wasn't done. So I wanted to do something to throw it in a little bit more. And, you know, I had always been a Road Warriors fan. And I was wondering, how can I throw, you know, my look, my unique spin on this, plus honor Jesse at the same time? And it just came naturally thinking, you know what, Bo can be my banner. You know, I can do the promos, I can talk, but when it comes down to the action, why not throw on the paint? Why not grow a double mohawk and then just absolutely more or less turn into Hawk in a way, but put my kind of, you know, Hulkish type spin on it and just cut him loose and let him go.
So you use the memory of your friend, obviously, for part of the motivation for this, and then obviously honoring the Road Warriors through this as well. And, you know, you're kind of you're dotting the I, so to speak, with it as Bo Sawyer, who then evolves into this monster known as Graven, who, when provoked, kind of, you know, the Bruce Banner and Hulk analogy, I'm guessing, right?
Right, exactly. And obviously a very big Hulk fan too, so it all ties together pretty well, I think.
Yeah, the influence, you know, obviously Marvel and comics and superheroes have obviously played a big role in what you've done as well, because you were doing some of the, you know, when you were doing more of the British Bulldog tribute and the American War Dog, it had hints of Thor in there too, right?
Yeah, I would say that.
So what is, you know, you mentioned honoring your friend who passed away in 2014. And obviously, you know, the wrestling business, it's not like any other business or club or organization association that I've ever been involved with. And, you know, I'm still very, you know, I don't consider myself inside the business, but I see the bonds that are developed, and you know, the men and women who do this, obviously, I think, want to gain some sort of notoriety and some sort of, you know, doing their craft and whatnot. But, you know, they're not getting rich doing this by any means, but there's so much loyalty involved. And the fact that you drove, you know, 90 minutes one way to get to a show, to a second show on the same night. And, you know, it just shows the dedication that's involved with it. And I feel like there's a bond that develops that, you know, we honor those who we've lost along the way. And I think that speaks volumes for you as a person who has done this to honor and remember your friend, and also then tie in, you know, the heroes that you looked up to as a kid as well.
Right, exactly.
So do you, when you, because you've just recently started doing the Graven character work, is that right?
Yeah, I figured, you know, since unfortunately COVID shut so many things down, I knew something new had to come out of it, and it was a time for growth, not only as a person myself and take care of, you know, my family and focus on them, but for when I did come back, when wrestling did come back, to have a plan to be like, okay, it's not just the same guy. It's something, you know, it's something different. It's something a little bit more exciting and a little bit more intense. And it's the more the real. I mean, is it a gimmick? Sure, it's a gimmick. But at the same time, God knows, I couldn't say that 30 years ago. I would have been run out of town.
Right, right.
But you know, today it's something like, you want something that people are going to catch their, it's going to catch their attention, and it's going to put butts back in the seats and make them go, damn, I can't wait to see that guy again.
Yeah, because, I mean, and we've talked before, I've talked with Tyler from Stride Pro Wrestling, you know, we've talked about that look that, you know, a lot of fans maybe expect to see. And, you know, guys who are young and coming up and training, and, you know, some of them look like they may live in your neighborhood, you know, they may be your friend or whatever the case may be. And that's not a knock against anyone, because I think fans resonate and find, you know, that's the beauty of wrestling. It's like going to the circus. You're going to see different acts and different performers throughout the night. That's, you know, some will appeal more to you than others will. And, you know, you, like we mentioned and established, at 280 pounds, you know, you are kind of a real life one of these real life comic book characters. You know, you've got that look of a beast, so to speak. And so what advice do you have to others who have decided to take this path and get into the world of professional wrestling? Because it's about more than, I think a lot of times these younger, because I do see some of the trainees at Stride, and again, I'm not knocking anyone, but I feel like a lot of times they have an idea, they have a plan in their head, I'm going to be this character, but then we don't know, like there's not anything that connects us to that character. You know what I mean? Like it's this right. idea, but then the execution doesn't work, or the and again, you have to be persistent and you have to be patient with everything in life. But I think even more right. so in professional wrestling, because not everybody is going to make it to WWE or AEW or Ring of Honor, but not everybody's even going to make it to that indie show at the VA or the VFW hall. You know what I mean? So there okay. has to be a level of commitment and not just a, oh, I can do that mentality, I think.
Right, definitely. Like, my advice to anyone that is, you know, either wanting to get in or is in is or is in training or has been doing a couple years, my advice is just, and it kind of sucks for me to say this, but at the same time, because I'm a very impatient person at times, patience is the key. Because obviously Rome was not built in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the world of professional wrestling, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And there's, you know, there's people unfortunately always dropping off, but there's always new ones coming in. So it is a big, huge machine, no matter if it's in Indiana, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter where it's going to be. There's going to be people wrestling at one level higher than others.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time, it takes years. And I mean, you know, like I said, patience is key. And one day some things will fall into place and sometimes it'll feel like other things are falling apart.
Yeah.
It's not only a roller coaster for the people who are putting on the matches and telling stories and everything, it's a roller coaster for us as well as the wrestlers. Because, you know, we don't know one night if we're going to have a packed house of, you know, let's say 1,200 people if you have a venue that size, compared to one show you might be really hyped up, but and you only draw like 10 people.
Yeah.
Those nights are going to happen. So it's something, it's a commitment to not only to yourself to push what you can do physically, tell a story with your body and have this live action soap opera going on, as, you know, a lot of it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's, can you entertain? Can you keep people's attention for that whole time that you're in there?
Yeah.
Because like you said, it's kind of like the circus. Now, when you're in the circus and everything, there is a big ring in the middle and basically everybody's focus is on that. So it's a very big similarity compared to pro wrestling to the circus, except that I still hate clowns. It doesn't matter. But that's pretty much what it really is. I mean, you're in and you're in. You stick with it. And like you were saying also earlier about having those bonds with those people, like I've got a lot of acquaintances and everything. I've got friends, but I've got very few close friends.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's definitely a life type thing.
I want to talk to you too. 2 years ago this month, as we're recording this in October of 2020, you had an opportunity to, and I believe it was the second time that you were able to do this, you got into the ring with another monster of sorts in Abyss with Stride Pro Wrestling. The match started off as a singles match between Abyss and Roger Mathis, and then the Midwest Monster Hunters come down and interfere, and it turns into a tag team match where Abyss and Roger Mathis get in there against the two of you, Jason Tiller and Bo Sawyer, the Midwest Monster Hunters. Number one, talk to me about Wrestling Abyss. You know, what was that like for you? Because I met him, you know, that night as well, and he seemed like a great person. And now we know that he's doing work with WWE as an agent and producer and some on-air stuff as well. But what was it like being in there with someone who, again, like we talked about earlier, you know, a lot of these guys on indie shows aren't the biggest guys on the block, and you usually are the biggest guy in the ring, but now you're in there with Abyss, who is, you know, this giant of a man. What was that like?
that was honestly one of those dream matches that I had waited for years, and especially with the whole Monster Hunter thing behind us, I was like, okay, hopefully I'm going to run into this guy somewhere, because he already had the name. We had the name. It was just, it was perfect. It just had to happen at a place sometime. But yeah, before the tag match happened at Stride, I did get to wrestle him in, oh, it was actually over by Indy. I don't actually remember the name of the town. And talking with him, I mean, I was a little nervous, but I'm like, man, he's one of the boys. He'll be, you know, he's cool. No worries. Just chill. And I met him, and he was so nice and so down to earth. And just talked the easiest match, went out, had the match, had a few unexpected things that happened that he pointed out later. He's like, dude, that was great. And as soon as we got done, we came back in front of all the boys that were in the locker room. He's like, guys, he took care of me. He put on a hell of a match, and it was great. Thank you very much. And I was like, oh my God.
That's awesome.
Like, it blew my mind. It's like, I just got that, you know, I just got that rub from a guy who's been around for a very, very long time and is a very well established name. So I was like very honored. And when we get to come back and do it again for Stride, I was like, awesome, I get to work with him again. And I was still marking out with it. It was great. And end up telling that good story. You know, you had Roger, the, you know, big badass Viking against the monster, and it's like, hey, you know what, we're Monster Hunters, we want a piece. And then it turned into that tag match, and I think it went over great.
Is there any, I agree it did as well. Is there anyone, you know, obviously, as we mentioned, the Road Warriors and Davey Boy Smith, the British Bulldog, were among your favorites. Is there anyone today on today's scene, and I know you don't watch as much as you used to, I think a lot of us have stopped watching as regularly as we used to, but are there any other of those type of dream matches that Bo Sawyer or Graven would want to get in there with, who's on the you know, AEW, WWE, NXT, the larger than life character, so to speak?
I got two people I would have to choose. Number one being Sheamus.
Nice.
Sheamus, just with that bruising, you know, style that he does, he's very much a kind of a throwback from Fit Finlay, if you will, just a very bigger, obviously, person to it, and extremely athletic for a guy his size. He definitely would be a number one on that. And I would have to say the second's got to be Lance Archer.
Okay.
Because I actually kind of took, I do a move called the World Breaker. You've seen it, and the beginning is very, very similar to his Blackout. And kind of took that and just kind of modified it and made it my own. But he would definitely be the other person as far as, like, character-wise.
Right.
Because they just, to me, they just stand out so much more than the other guys that are just them. You know, they're people that are over the top and just, like, in your face, and they're going to make you pay attention. So that's why those two guys, they've had my attention for years. And those would definitely be the dream matches I would love to have.
Those would be great. And as we begin to kind of wind things down, I know that you just also recently opened a pro wrestling tee store. So talk to us about that and how fans can get some Bo Sawyer Graven merchandise.
Yeah, we sure did. It took long enough, too. You can definitely go on to prowrestlingtees.com, and you can get your – it's the original Midwest Monster Hunter logo. And very happy to say that there's also a Graven t-shirt. The logo to it was done by a very good friend of mine who just kind of had a creative idea, ran with it, and I love it. And the phrase, pick them up, put them down, is on the shirt. That is also actually from my grandfather.
Mm.
I always say I'm a grandson of a bear. His nickname was Bear, and it's carried on to my kids because they're a couple little hosses, and we keep that tradition alive. And hey, I'm a Bears fan, and we're 4-1 at this point right now, so I'm pretty happy.
Nice. Very nice. How do people find your store on Pro Wrestling Tees?
Well, pretty much, I don't know what the actual link is to it or anything, but you just search under the Midwest Monster Hunters on Pro Wrestling Tees, and that should take you right to it.
All righty, and we'll have a link to Bo's page in the write-up section of this podcast as well. Bo, is there anything else as we wind up this week's episode?
Pretty much I can say this. You know, the Midwest Monster Hunters have been around for a while. Things are going to start blowing up, so definitely keep a close eye, keep an eye on the on the YouTube. It's under the American War Dog, Bo Sawyer. We'll have more clips, more episodes of things. And, you know, keep an eye. Hey, I'm on TikTok now. You know, Kevin's on there.
That's right.
We do some goofy stuff. But, hey, you never know when you're going to see Graven or you're going to see Bo. So definitely keep an eye out because the monster hunters are definitely full force going hunting.
I'm glad to hear that. And again, I will link all of Bo's social media as well. You can check him out on Twitter, YouTube, as he mentioned, TikTok, and kind of keep up with what's going on with Bo Sawyer. I appreciate your time, Bo. Thanks for being a part of this week's episode.
Hey, I definitely appreciate being on, man. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And friends, don't forget to check out all the other podcasts here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. You can also keep up with Stride Pro Wrestling by heading to strideprowrestling.com and follow us on all the social media out there as well. And we'll be back again next week with another episode. Thanks so much for watching. Have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.